I love you. That's a loaded statement. And too many times, you know, we're talking on the phone, say, hey, honey, okay, see you, bye, I love you. How many times do we do that? But how many times do when we sit down of an evening and you want to hear those subtle words whispered in your ear because you know it comes from the sincerity of their heart? We need that. Oh, we got to let the kids go. I was trying to keep as many in here as I can and make it look good. I love you too, Kayla. I'm sorry. You know, I witnessed something one time several years ago that actually changed a lot about what I thought about the words, I love you. Now, I have a wonderful, beautiful wife that I say that to lots of times and mean it sincerely, and she says it to me, and I welcome it every time she says it. But I never thought about the impact that the simple words of three joined words put together can do to somebody's heart. Now, many of us have heard that from God saying it to us because we get something going on in here. But I've never witnessed kind of a in-your-face type of thing. I was in a living room with some people, friends, and we was actually having a birthday party for one of their children. And I'm just kind of off in the corner. And the older of the two sons was getting quite rebellious, obstinate, defiant, whatever you want to say, telling his mom basically to go fly a kite. And because he didn't have the spotlight. And this went on throughout the whole cake and the presents and everything. You know, he's over there kicking the boxes. You know, I don't want these gifts. Or, you know, he literally was. He was. I'd have handled it a little bit differently, but Mom was very gracious not to make a scene. She'd take him off to the side and talk to him. Even his dad took him outside, and he'd come back, kicked more boxes, made some statements that were rude. But anyway, his grandfather's sitting over here observing all of this stuff. He's a widower. His wife's no longer with him, but obviously seasoned by years of life has caused him to be more full of wisdom than irrational decisions. He walked over to this son and whispered something in his ear. The kid sat back and tuckered his lips and he goes, and I thought, you know, but he stopped what he was doing. He didn't like not doing it, but he stopped. And in a matter of minutes, whenever he felt the urge to be rebellious again, he'd glance over to his grandpa, and he would just calm down. And so it was several days, maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, I happened to come in contact with the family again, and grandpa was there, and I said, how's Junior? He says, he's a different man. And I said, really? I said, obviously you threatened him with his life, if whatever it was you whispered in his ear. He said, I said three words. I love you. He said, that's all I said. And he said, I let that burn into his soul and let him think about it. Now, this kid's only 8 or 9 years old. But just those words, I love you, stopped the rebellion in his life. I never ever, and I've probably been in that home a dozen times since then, have never, now this kid's almost a teenager, look out, have never seen him act the same way again. It changed that kid. Because somebody realized the importance of how it was to that child to hear those words. Now, I don't know if mom and dad ever said that to him or not. I don't know. Never asked. But it did change that boy's life. I'll guarantee you, the minute your sweetheart said to you that he loved you or she loved you, there was something going on different in your life. Right? And it doesn't stop there. That word I love, those words I love you, put something of a responsibility on the person giving those words. It isn't it something like, yeah, I'll see you, honey, goodbye, I love you. It's not that. It's not that. It's that subtle hand hold and say, I love you, dear. It says no matter what comes about, what the troubles are happening, what's happening to you or family or the neighbor, I still love you. I don't care what's going on in life, I still love you. You can walk away from me cursing and going on and says, I still love you. Many of us have experienced that. You know, I can't remember the first time my dad ever said that to me. My dad was a big barrel-chested guy, kind of like Slusher. And when he gave you a hug, you couldn't breathe for an hour because he just... And one time I was gasping for breath and mom says, put him down, he's going to die. And he leaned back over as he let me down to the ground and I fell to my knees. He says, I just wanted to show you I love you. Well, that's painful, guy. Gosh darn. But anyway, I don't remember when he... I bet you I was probably in my junior high years. Right out of the blue, just like this grandfather did to this son. Now, I wasn't being acting rebellious at the time, but that's after supper one night, we're sitting around having conversation, as we always did, and he looked over at me and he says, I love you. Whew. Where'd that come from? You know, I went up to my room and cried. I literally did, because I didn't know what was that meant by. I knew my dad loved me. I knew my mom loved me. But I just have somebody come up and just say just those three words and nothing else. Didn't load it with a bunch of other heavy thoughts and everything like that. Excuse me. I'm going to have another drink. I had two bowls of chili yesterday and that's still burning. Actually, I had four bowls of chili, two for lunch and two for supper. If you want chili, come to my house. So, my point being is, every person, every human being needs that. You can have the tough, big, old macho guy that's never bent his knee to nobody will wilt at the sign of somebody saying, I love you. The thing that concerns me is, in the purity and the sincerity of those words, too many times the responses and the relationships become fabricated and calculated. We try to do that with God. We try to manipulate it to make it more comfortable. Because the one receiving those words has a lot of responsibility to deal with. He has to respond in some form. And when those responses come, they need to be from the heart. You know, one of the first things Kay said to me when we got married, she says, now don't you go and buy flowers all the time. That hurt me. You know, because I like those little cards that I can put on her and say, I love you. What she was saying to me, don't be like anybody else. I want you to say or do something for me that's from your heart. And when we do that, it becomes real. You don't have to second guess it. The problems what we have today is that we try to respond like Hollywood. or maybe some of these fictional books that talk about love or caring. And a lot of it, there's some elements of truth, but it isn't really, really from the heart. And I can't blame us for doing that. Now, I grew up without TV, so I'm at a disadvantage. You know, so I didn't know about all these Hollywood... Sorry, Tim. These Hollywood love theme stories, you know, where the big knight comes in and sweeps her away and they live happily ever after. Or they got to go busting through cement walls with this great big four-wheel drive thing and swoop her away and fight King Kong and all of that stuff. Oh, if I could do that, I wouldn't be here today. No, seriously. So stop and think about this a minute. How many times has the dearest one in your life or somebody that's important to you, it's significantly important, says, I love you? The responsibility that we have is responding with our heart to their heart. Right? And not conjuring up ideas that Hollywood is maybe thinking, well, here I'm, you know, Sean Connery or John Wayne, you know, or a whole bunch of other people that make out all these movies. And that's fine. That's Hollywood. But the thing I'm trying to say is to take the time to see what's important to you when somebody says that. The reason I went up and cried in my bedroom because I didn't know how to respond. Not that I didn't believe my dad. I didn't know how to respond. My mom said it frequently. I'd just go back and give her a hug and say, I love you too, Mom. Hi, goodbye. And that's what it got to be. But because Dad was a man of, most of the time, few words, that when he said something, he usually meant it. If he didn't mean it, you didn't know whether he was joking or not. But anyway, because he has few words, especially in a serious conversation, it took me several days to respond. First of all, when we sat down at the supper table again, we finished that nice meal of pancakes. I said, Dad, I thank you for telling me that. And I love you. And most of the time, that's our response. Somebody says, I love you. You respond, and I love you. Not to make it trivial, but a lot of times that's the only thing you can say in response. You know, you can get happy feet and dance, you know, and then say, I love you, I don't know, or high five or whatever. But the seriousness of this is I want us to consider how we respond to somebody that says, I love you. Now, God says that. And he just says it flat out. I love you. How do we respond? Many of us have responded to that voice of love. But how do we respond? Because it continually, it's just like a sounding coming forth like the sunshine, just constantly coming from his being. Because that's who God is, as we sung. That's who he is. And we actually hinder his love because we try to fabricate it and calculate it. We put on our Sunday face and say, this is how I love God back. And he's over in a corner weeping because he said, no, that isn't what I want from you. I want it to be real from you as it is real from me to you. He understands that we are in the frailty of our human existence. That we don't have the ability to love unless he loves us first. Amen. Says that in 1 John. What great, magnificent love the Father has given us. You cannot begin to comprehend of that in 5 minutes. You can't. We have not had the capacity to do that. However, God has taken steps because He first loved us, that says things that you've never thought about, I imagine. How many of us has two or three rooms in the house that you live in? It's nothing packed full of love. That you, any moment now you can go in and just go get a bunch and give it to somebody. Or how many of you just carry four or five suitcases full of love and you just somebody shows up and go, here, have one. No. It takes the initial act of somebody to spark or that flame within you, that seed of love, to make it grow. We couldn't stand carrying around that much love if we didn't know what to do with it. But God does. That's the difference. He is love. He has the capacity. He has rooms and rooms. Like one man says, he's got a pickup out there with 5 55-gallon drums full of love. He's going to dump them on all of us. God can do that. And He did that through Jesus Christ. The thing that we have to concern ourselves with is, I need to know how to love. I need to know how to love in return. Well, you know, the fortunate thing is, when we do fall in love, we start writing things down. Hey, sweetheart, you know, today is just a beautiful day because you're beautiful. And you put it in an envelope and you send it. Or you leave a note tucked underneath the coffee cup and say some beautiful things and sincere things. I'm not making light of this because it draws without of us the things that we need to express to this person that says, I love you. Now, some of us do it in different manners, but every one of us, I can remember in the fourth grade, a girl gave me a note and it said, I love you. Again, I didn't know what to do. I ran home and cried again. I didn't know what that meant for kind of fourth grade. That's the only person that ever told me loved me was my mom and my grandma. You know, it was more of the lines of hate from kids I knew. In any way, I didn't know how to respond that time either. And neither do we know how to respond to God. The magnificent thing about God is He'll teach us. He'll show you. But you got to know Him first. You got to lean next to His shoulder and hold hands with Him or sit on His lap or however you want to look at it or have a conversation with Him. And hear Him say, I love you, and you go, I love you too, Father. And it comes right from your heart. And I'll guarantee He's got tears streaming down His face because every one of His children that says that and means it from their heart, He's elated. He's just full of expressions. And you know the thing that's so neat is then He turns right around and gives you more. Oh! It just knocks you back for a loop. And I want to make just a footnote here. You want to fight the enemy? You want to wage war on the enemy? Love God. You're having problems with the enemy trying to get you down and stuff? Love God. He'll become so second place that he'll just drift away. That's just a little note. Because God has taken time to help us to learn real love. And to handle the capacity of heaven-born divine love, He's not going to leave us alone and say, here, I just gave you all this love, you're on your own to love me back. No. He wrote us a letter called the Bible. He's given us voice to speak our feelings back to Him in prayer and in gratitude and worship. All of these things are done to open more depth in the capacity that we have to love. You don't need rooms of love stored somewhere so you can go get some to love somebody. What you need is to respond to the love that's given to you. And in so doing, we become more and more mature in love. What do I mean by that? We become more apt to being lovable. We become more, I don't want to use the word educated, but aware of love and how it works. How does God love? I don't know. How does He love? I feel something in my heart. I feel something inside here. I know that it's God, but is it love or is it just some kind of emotional trip? But then I stop and look around, and just like this little boy and his granddad, it's changing me and I don't know how. There's something about the spiritual power of love coming from God, and if I allow it, it changes me. It makes me somebody that's lovable, where I was not lovable. I didn't have the beauty of the divine love. But in my ugliness, there's a greater person than me loving me. It does so much to my psyche about the way I approach life and relationships. It doesn't make sense, God, but I'm stronger. I'm more confident. Maybe when things are thrown to me, I don't really know, understand, but I find myself standing strong to things that want to tear me down. Because I'm allowing that love from my Father to work within me, to strengthen me, to cause me to be better. And now, I don't want to give you any impression that I'm perfect in love. Believe me, there's a lot of people that don't think so. And the list is too long. However, I have learned by reading the Word and praying with the Word and worshiping my Father that I begin to understand in greater depths of the capacities of love and the far-reaching power of love that can change so much. I can remember I did some street ministry way many, many years ago. There was a team of us that we would just split up in twos, and we'd just get on the street. And then anybody that would listen to us, we'd tell them about the gospel. And we had, I can't tell you how many of them just swear at us and walk off and call us all kinds of those religious fanatics, things like that. And we never did anything to grab them by the shirt and say, you need to listen to this, or get with a megaphone and blow it in their ear, you know, or anything like that. We just said, hey, we just want to talk to you about somebody that loves you. And I can remember this, there was a group of about five of them, guys, come strolling down the street, you know, back in the 60s, they had the cigarettes rolled up in their sleeves and pant legs rolled up. They didn't wear them real loose pants like they do now. I mean, anyhow, come walking by and my friend says, hey, you got a second? And they said, I made some kind of smart remark. They stopped and made some more comments. And one of them, he kind of stood in the back. And the first thing my friend says, we want you to know that we love you. We won't say anything to you that would be harmful to you. We're not offering you anything but God's love. And, of course, they made their comments and they made their stomping and went off. The guy in the back stayed. He said, nobody has ever said the gospel to me like that. He said, I want to know this God. He was a non-churchgoer. Fortunately, God blessed us with an opportunity to lead him in prayer to know him. You know, you stop and think about that. We're so busy in our life and we're going this way and we're going this way, and all of a sudden you hear this echo from a distance going, I love you. Stops you in your tracks. Where'd that come from? Many, many times that's the way God has to reach us. He has to take time to just softly tell you his feelings. Take time to say, would you take a moment and respond? No matter what time of that one song, it says at midnight he talked to me. How many of you have been talked to by God at midnight? You talk about a loving relationship, because thank God he never sleeps, that he can take a moment out of his busy schedule and say those sweet words to you. The thing that scares me so much about this subject matter is that today you would walk away and say, yeah, that was a good word, Paul, and I really feel about it. But we've become calloused so much because of the easiness we say those words. And I can't help but think when Jesus was bleeding on the cross, screaming to us, we love you. We love you. In his pain and agony, he's saying to you, I love you. I get concerned that sometimes the freshness of those words becomes dull. And I can't point a finger. I can't. But then it takes maybe just a whisper at midnight, and it says, I hear this voice, I love you. Where have I been the last couple of days, Father? Oh, man. I'm walking underneath the skies that you've created. I'm breathing the air that you've created. You've given me a family, and, you've carried me through the tough times. And I haven't told you that I've loved you lately. And I concern myself with, I'm going to call this religious love. Like I said, we paint our loving face on to come to church. That happens too often. But it concerns me that the freshness of God's whispering in your ear isn't showing forth because we get fabricating this, our responses. We kind of put things in a box. God doesn't really need you so much right here other than the family situation, but he really wants you to express your love for him out there. And all of us have places in our workplace or in situations that there's individuals that just rub us wrong. I'm going to tell a story on myself. Most of you know that I worked for Frito-Lay for the last few years, and I've retired from there, but anyhow, there was one of the people that worked there. How many of you know when you talk about grit on sandpaper, the lower the number, the coarser it is? Okay? We called this boy 80 grit. He rubbed everybody the wrong way, literally. He just kind of accepted it as a neat nickname, But 80 grit rubbed me the wrong way too. He really did. But I got convicted. The Lord got a hold of me one night at midnight and says, you need to love him. You need to love him. Ron was his real name. He said, you need to love Ron. And I says, what's that look like, Father? I'm still bleeding from rubbing that 80 grit up and down my neck. And he says, I'll show you. So I didn't get to see him for a couple of days. And I said, so be it, though, Lord. I says, by your power and your authority and by the Holy Spirit, you betcha. Because I know I'm an 80 grit to somebody somewhere. And so a couple of days later, he come in, and I noticed his attitude was a whole lot different. I didn't say anything. I said, ooh, this is, somebody took away his sandpaper, because he's an altogether different man. But I didn't say anything. I waited to set an opportunity to just for him and I to be alone and or in passing, you know, talking. And so I just struck up a conversation with him and asked him how he was doing in his personal life, his family life. I said, how's your family? You know, how's things going? And he opened up to me. And just in a matter of 10 minutes, he kind of gave me the synopsis of his last 15 years of his life. Not pretty. Not pretty at all. And he says, I was in prayer the other night, and he happened to be a brother. I didn't know that. I mean, how can you see through 80 grit and see if there's a Christian there? They're supposed to be loving. He says, well, I was praying the other night, which happened to be the two nights ago that I was being talked to by the Holy Spirit to love this guy. He said, the Lord come to me, and he says, the Lord was talking to me, he said, all I need to be is loved. I go, whew. I'm getting chills again just hearing this. But he says, I said, okay. I said, I understand. I says, I'll be praying for you. Is there something, you know, kind of the normal brotherly love thing? I'll pray for you. What can I help you with? And he said this, just love me. He said, just love me as I am. I go, oh, God. I want to go to my room and cry again. I thought, whole. And I said, consider it done, Ron. I never called him 80 grit again. And his from that time on, that was probably 3 years ago. I'd seen him every day, pretty much 5 days a week, you know. And from that time on, we had a haul together different relationship. I say this story because this is the next point I want to bring up is, quit trying to be somebody you're not in front of God. Don't be somebody that you're trying to fabricate or calculate that God wants to love. He don't want that. He wants you. The way you are, He created you. The way you are, the genetics that you have are all by the design of God. If He wanted somebody like you're trying to be, He would have created you that way. Well, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? A bunch of John Waynes walking around here. And that's hard to do because it opens up cans of worms that you don't want to expose to anybody, even God. And He's saying, I know who you are. I made you. I love you. As you are, as filthy as you may feel, as corrupt as you may feel, as disgusting as you are, I love you. You know the old, what was that? I think there was a song or a poem somewhere. I love you, let me count the ways, that's the little... Gosh, God, got to have a list on us something first. But anyway, be yourself. If there's any changing to do in your life, let the love of God through Him and into you change you. Because then it'll be perfected. You'll become the person He intended you to be in perfection. Because He's doing. That's the thing that we as humans don't have the capacity to do. It takes the divine presence and the power of God and His love to change us. Has anybody ever been changed in here? Yeah, I don't want to be like I was 50 years ago. Even a year ago. Or maybe yesterday. And love has always been there. Even in pagan worship, there's things of love because God created us with that capacity to need love and to love. Even without the knowledge of a God in heaven, the Savior of the world, and His Holy Spirit, there's still something within us that wants love and wants to give love. Am I right? just don't know how to do it. And God knows that. God knows that. Our Father knows that. And with our inadequacies, He bridges the gap to draw us into, pardon me, into His real realm of love. The thing of responsibility that comes from us, and he makes it simple to us. Talk to me. He says, just talk to me. He says, I give you this whole book here to tell you my feelings, who I am, and what I like. You know, in a relationship between us and our spouses or our dads and our moms or our brothers and sisters or, you know, those that we care about, the thing that we want to do in these love letters that we write to each other, I'd write little notes and stick them in her coffee cup and just hoping in her sleepy morning she just don't pour coffee on it. I've been known to even stick them in a little makeup case. They're not flowers, just notes. But anyway, the capacity to love has to be brought about by somebody higher than you and me. It's vertical love. Horizontal love we can do to a certain extent, but it still leaves wanting. It still leaves desires. And that's why it's so hard for us to understand why somebody like God, our Father, and Jesus Christ can love us so much that He's done what He's done and is doing what He's doing. It's hard to wrap our mind around that. You can't. You got to use your heart. Let your heart dictate how that relationship will go. And I'll guarantee you, if you're talking heart to heart with God, He's got the upper hand. Can you imagine the amount of love that He has? Now, it isn't just like He's got a book here and He says, okay, today, I'm going to deal with Paul and everybody else can go to, Flat Kite. He's doing this with every one of us simultaneously. His Spirit is over the waters covering. Stop and think about that. He's doing something in your heart and my heart. And the guy next door, the guy that lives in Africa, the guy that lives in Russia, the guy that lives in China, or, the lady that's washing dishes next door, at the same time, He has the capacity to do that. Don't deny Him that. Don't deny Him the right to love you. Because you know who's going to pay for it? If you deny Him His love, who's going to pay for it? You are, and I am. We'll lose. If we don't accept Jesus Christ and that showing of love in response to God, we lose. I still believe it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved again. But God has the keeping power if we open our heart to Him. And that's my point today. The Father is telling you right now He loves you. Slow down, stop what you're doing, and listen. And when you listen and you respond with your heart. Let it. You have to allow it. And this is the beauty of it. You have to abandon yourself to love Him back. Do so. If you say, I don't like me. I don't like what I am. You got an opportunity to be somebody that God wants you to be, with whom He made you to be. That's the beauty of it is. And we're not all cookie cutter, believe me. We're not rubber stamped by God. He takes it very, very personal that He loves you. He isn't just grouping you up over here in this group and this group over here and says, well, I'm going to love you today and I'm going to love you tomorrow. No, it's all out. It's all out. And He put His feelings on His shirt sleeve. He showed us. And He just doesn't leave us there. He said, you come love with me and I love you. He says, this will be a wonderful, wonderful journey. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are mine. I don't own you, but because of the bond of our love, you are mine. And I hope I am yours. If you've had questions about your love to God, just stand alone sometime. Just strip everything away, the raw emotions, the hurts, the feelings that you've had, the different things, and just tell Him like it is. And when you're done, said, Father, I love you. There's something about you saying that back to Him that not only feels good to Him, but it makes you feel emotionally wonderful, strong, confident, changed. So when I end with this statement, I pray that every one of us would recognize the love of God in its entirety. Accept God's love in its fullness. No, you can't understand it all right at the moment, but allow His love to work in your heart because you will be a changed person. And I don't care if you've been with God all your life and you accepted Jesus Christ when you were 5 years old. It'll happen today because His love never ends. He never changes. He's always there extending His hand. He has never turned anybody away. Ever. Now, He may have disciplined a few pretty hard, but that's part of love. So, allow God to be Himself in your life. Allow Him to love you with the capacity of eternity. Think about that. If any of you have a moment you want to pray with us up front, you're more than welcome to. If you want to just strip away the world and just tell God that you love Him, you're more than welcome to do that. But I would encourage you today or tomorrow, or whenever you feel the feelings of love, just tell Him how it is. Tell Him how you feel. If you don't feel like loving right at that moment, He understands. But I tell you what, before your conversation's over, you're going to feel like, boy, God, your love is pretty powerful. And begins to change you right at that moment. He don't mind you being honest with Him. Isn't that part of being in love? So, won't we stand? Like I said, if you feel like you want some prayer with this, you're more than welcome to come and we'll pray with you and the Holy Spirit will honor that. Okay? I love you. I sincerely love you. And I can say on great authority that our Heavenly Father loves you. And He loves you today, tomorrow, and the rest of eternity. Okay? Father, we just thank You. We thank You that we get little glimpses of You, little beams of light that comes from Yourself. And, oh, it just feels so good. It just feels a presence that You are around us, that we could just feel Your arms wrapping around us, and we hear the whisper in our ear as we lay our head on Your shoulder, and You say, I love You. It changes us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. We just ask that your presence would continue with each of us today. Bless us as we travel to and from our homes and the duties that we have. But never let us alone, that we don't hear your voice whispering in our heart. And give us the hearts to respond. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.